Can anybody relate to the guy in the video? I feel like even if you're not an expert in exterior illumination like Clark W. Griswold III, we all can relate that Christmas is so wonderful in so many different ways, but there's this thing about Christmas that the older we get and the more we play out these traditions that we have every single year, it can begin to feel like the same old thing. It can begin to feel somewhat mundane. I don't know what it is for you. I have several examples in my own life, but one is decorating, as we just saw in the video. There's a big difference between decorating and decorations. Did you know this? It's only three letters different, but the experience is altogether different. Everybody in here, most of us in here at some point in the last month or so, has gone through the experience of decorating, ing. Think about it for just a second. Where do you keep your Christmas decorations? My guess is they are in the furthest back corner of your house behind everything else that you own. Is that right? Like in the back of some closet, some sort of storage area. About a month ago, my wife Kelly and I, we decided, okay, it's time to start decorating for Christmas. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go again, you know? And I've got to do like a Cirque du Soleil show to get back to the Christmas decorations in the back of the house. Maybe it's decorating. Maybe it's music. You know, the season starts and you're listening to Christmas music. You're just like, oh, I love this Christmas music. It's so wonderful. It's the most wonderful time of the year, you know, and it's, oh, you're just so jolly, so happy. It's great. And, you know, it's Christmas all over. It's Christmas all over. And then after a while, maybe the 100th time you've heard the song, it's like, it's Christmas all over. You know, maybe it's music that begins to feel mundane. Maybe it's movies. As you're watching Christmas movies, maybe you're a Hallmark movie person, Hallmark Christmas movie. By the way, if you're a Hallmark Christmas, don't raise your hand, okay? You don't want to let people know that, all right? You probably just want to keep that to yourself. For me, I only watched about 6 or 7 this Christmas. And it was somewhere between movie 4 and movie 5, I think it was a Heidelberg Christmas and Christmas Island, that it began to dawn on me, these movies are all the exact same. Did you know this? I mean, if you have seen one, you have seen every single one. If you've never seen one, I'll give you the quick overview and you'll know, you'll be an expert in Hallmark movies from here on out. It starts with some sort of family drama, shall we say. Within the first line or two, there's some sort of tension within the family. It could be a, you know, an adult child that works too much and doesn't have time for love in her life or his life. It could be a marriage that's on the rocks. It could be siblings that aren't getting along, but within about 2 or 3 lines of the movie, they're gonna present to you some sort of family tension. And spoiler alert, that's also the end of the movie. Like whatever tension they present in those first 2 lines of the movie, they're gonna solve it at the end of the movie. So typically what happens is this family is gonna go on a great adventure for Christmas, and they start off on their way, and then a surprise snowstorm. It's always a surprise. They never can see it on the radar, but it is a surprise snowstorm, and it is of epic proportions. They've actually never seen this much snow in the history of the world, and so their trip gets sidetracked about halfway through, and they end up in this little town, and it's a beautiful, quaint town. It's like something straight out of a Hallmark card. You guessed it. And so this guy comes to get their luggage, and he's the most handsome man that has ever walked the face of the planet. He also happens to be single. He also happens to be the owner of the inn that they end up staying at. They're going to check in, and he's checking them in at the front desk. And then by the end of the movie, you find out he's the mayor of the town as well. So, and of course, as fate would have it, the single young lady in the family that's working too much and doesn't have time for love, she starts to fall for this gentleman who's the mayor luggage retriever and also inn owner of this Hallmark card town. And they kind of tempt you into thinking, oh, she's going to fall for him and they're going to end up together. And then right before the end of the movie, she gets in her car and starts heading back to New York City or wherever her job is and leaving. And you're just sitting there going, no, this is totally wrong. She can't leave. And then what does she do? The car's driving away and she goes, stop the car. Stop the car. You got to go back. And she bursts in the in the door and she says, I've only known you for 7 days, but we're getting married and I'm staying here. That's it. That's every Hallmark movie there is out there. And just, yeah. Again, I wouldn't recommend that you watch them, but they are available until December 31st on Netflix. So just a public service announcement there. But it hits into that same thing. It's like you're watching it and you're like, oh, wow, it's the same thing over and over again. There's these different parts of Christmas that can feel that way. Maybe for some of us in the room, it's presents. Not just giving and receiving presents. We love that part. It's preparing the presents, right? It's wrapping them. How do I say it? I'm trying to say this in the nicest way possible. Some of us in the room are geometrically challenged. Me included, okay? And it's like when we wrap a gift, there's either way too much paper, and so we end up making like a bunches of paper at the end of the package that we just kind of add extra tape to hold it in, hold the excess in, or we end up having these holes in the packaging, like little triangles that you can see through to the Amazon box below, therefore revealing the present that's inside. Oh, it's something from Amazon again. What a shocker. And what do? We finish wrapping the gift and we see that hole and we think, you know what? If I just turn this over and leave it under the tree with it down, they'll never see it, right? So it could be wrapping gifts. It could be traveling to see family. That's another time-honored tradition of the Christmas holiday. And we think about traveling to see family and you're on the surface, it's like, oh, that sounds awesome. Oh yeah, like great, we get to travel and see family. But then you start thinking about it and you're like, wow, really, it's just an opportunity to drive an hour or two just to be questioned about your life, right? Like, why aren't you dating? Well, why aren't you married? Well, why don't you have kids? Well, why do you have all these kids? You know, it's like there's no win. Like wherever you are in life, you show up to the family gathering and you're going to be questioned. You're going to be judged about what's going on in your life. And then it hits you. Oh, wow. It's the same thing over and over again. There's so many things about Christmas that, again, we enjoy in one moment, but then in another moment, it can feel like the same old thing. Now, here's the thing I want you to hear today is that when that moment hits you, whether it's a song, whether it's wrapping a gift, whether it's a Christmas movie, when that moment hits you, if maybe it's time with family this week, I want you to be reminded that the men and women that make up the account of the original Christmas, they experienced the same thing. That when Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, much of their life was the same old thing. For the ancient Israelites, they had been waiting on a Messiah. They had been waiting on this promised king, not just for years, not just for decades, but for centuries. It had been 14 years where they had been promised and prophesied, and they had talked about this coming king, this coming Messiah, grandfathers would meet with their grandchildren and tell them about this coming Messiah. Yet year after year, the days would go by and no Messiah. And in the first century, that's what they felt. It's the same old thing, this promise that brought us so much hope, still not being fulfilled. In the first century, the ancient Israelites were under the rule of a foreign nation. At the time, it was Rome. And there was every day an example of the life that they wish they could live, that they couldn't really live because they had this conquering nation that really dictated what daily life looked like. One example of that is a census. We see a census in the Christmas story, and when that census was called, it was just another example of, oh yeah, Rome is ultimately in control. Rome ultimately calls the shots. And we can't live life the way we want to live it. We can't live life the way we feel that God is calling us to live it. And this was the same old thing for them. Before the Romans, it was the Greeks. Before the Greeks, it was the Assyrians. Before the Assyrians, the Babylonians. For hundreds and hundreds of years, they had been under the rule of a foreign nation. It was the same old thing. And so the census gets called, and obviously it affects so many people's lives in Israel, but specifically two people In particular, we get to track with them in how the census affected them, Mary and Joseph. They lived in Galilee, which was in the northern part of Israel. And because of the census, they had to travel down to Bethlehem to Joseph's hometown. And what we don't read in the Christmas story, but what was true from a cultural context is Galileans were seen as less than in Judea. And so when they were showing up, they were experiencing the perspectives and the perceptions of people in Judea going, yeah, you don't really belong here. You're not as good as us. They would have to travel every year to Jerusalem, and they probably would have experienced this same feeling every time they went back to Jerusalem. So as they're traveling for the census, headed to Judea, they're going, here we go again. The same old thing. We're going to be treated as outcasts here. In fact, when it says that there was no room for them at the inn, it's quite possible that the reason there was no room for them at the inn was because they were Galilean. We don't know that for sure, but that was a possibility. So you get the same old thing again. You think about the shepherds. The shepherds are just out in the field by themselves doing their shepherd thing. Day after day, the same thing over and over again. That job was a hard job. It was cold. It was dark. It was dirty. And to them, it was the same old thing. So many people in the first century in Israel were experiencing the same old thing. Until light showed up. Until light broke through. Until love showed up. Unconditional love broke through. In the form of a child, in the form of a baby, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. They took him and they laid him in a manger. And when they laid him in a manger, they were laying the God of the universe in a manger. They were laying unconditional love in a manger. They were laying peace and life and joy in a manger. And all of a sudden, the same old thing was broken. And something brand new happened. The Messiah entered the world, and it was great joy for all people. Here's the way the gospel writer Luke documents it in Luke chapter 2. He says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The shepherds were glorifying and praising God in the midst of the same old thing, in the midst of just another day, because God had done something remarkable. Mary treasured the things in her heart. She stored them up in her heart, even though it had been the same old thing. She had joy, she had peace, she had life, because God had done something miraculous. Kings traveled from other nations to see this child, because God had done something miraculous. A baby had been born, and through that baby, light entered the world. The gospel writer John says that in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Light broke through, and everything changed. So this Christmas season, if you begin to feel like it's the same old thing, you begin to feel like you have a moment where it's like, hey, just rinse and repeat. I've experienced this before. Be reminded of what happened 2,000 years ago. And let Jesus reign in your heart and mind so that you can experience that joy and that light in the here and now. What we're going to do over the next few minutes is something we do every year during this service. And we like to light a candle to represent the light that Jesus brought into the world. So on your way in, there should have been a candle on your chair. You can go ahead and grab that now, and our team's going to start to make their way forward. And we're going to begin to light these candles, and you can just turn and light the persons next to you. And we're going to fill this room with light as the band sings, as the band plays. And as we fill this room with light, it's going to be a reminder and a celebration of the light that Jesus brought into the world 2,000 years ago in the midst of the same old thing. Light broke through and brought something brand new. So as the band begins to sing, we'll begin to light these candles.